Hello and welcome back to 414 Footy. Jack here. We've got a special episode today. Our first ever guest, Sebastian, and I made the short journey over to our state's capital to catch a match for Ford Madison, who is the third division squad that shares much the same ownership group as Milwaukee Pro Soccer. But before we get into our interview with Ford Madison defender Eddie Manjoma, a few pieces of housekeeping. First, we have started a Substack, 414footy.substack.com, as a new home for our community. You'll be able to catch all our podcasts there, as well as some written pieces in the future. Second, I made another appearance on Talkin' Flock, the Ford Madison podcast, with Rob Chappell, to discuss my takeaways from that game day experience against AV Alta, as well as the latest lack of updates with Milwaukee Pro Soccer. And finally, we recorded this interview right outside Bree Stevens Field, so there's a bit of background noise, including some folks walking by at around the midway point. We hope you'll bear with us. This is the first of a series of episodes on Ford Madison, our sibling club in a way, to see what we can learn from their success. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to 414 Footy. I'm Sebastian and I'm here, of course, with my co-host and friend, Jack Goods.
It's good to be here. We got a special episode today.
Yeah, absolutely. Today we welcome in a current Ford Madison player, Eddie Manjoma. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, of course. We really appreciate you taking this Saturday morning to come on the podcast. We are actually here in Madison,
live
with you, so it's an exciting time.
Yeah, I think that a good place to start for people who aren't super familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind just kind of going through your soccer journey, your background, what has gotten you here to Madison?
Yeah, no problem. So my soccer journey, I would say it started around when I was 4 years old. My dad, I've talked about this a lot in the past, my dad was also somebody who played the sport. So he coached me as soon as I could start walking and kicking a ball. But up until I was around like 11 or so, he was the one coaching me like in my structured team until I eventually kind of moved on. And then by the time I was 13, that's when I joined the FC Dallas Academy. So I was there from 13 all the way up until graduating high school, so 18 years old. And then my time in academy was obviously super, super amazing. My last 2 years, we ended up winning the national championship back to back. It was at that time called Development Academy, which is now known as MLS Next. So after that, I was pretty sure after I finished academy that I wanted to play professional, and I wanted to sign homegrown for FC Dallas. But I wasn't quite ready yet when I first got out of high school, so I needed to take that transition to go into college and kind of improve myself from an athletic standpoint. So I ended up going to SMU, which was also in Dallas, and I was there for 4 years. I graduated in 3.5, but I played all 4 seasons there. And then thankfully enough, after my senior year, FC Dallas still had their eye on me, and I ended up signing homegrown in 2020. So I was at FC Dallas from 2020 to 2022, so my first 3 years as a pro. Obviously, my first year, 2020, the year of COVID, it was hard for many reasons, but it was an interesting kind of first step in my, obviously, professional journey, which I was wanting to do since I was a kid. So, I was there my first 3 years, and then 2023 is when I made my debut in the USL Championship for Phoenix Rising. So I was there for the whole year of 2023. And in my first year, we won the whole USL Championship title. And that was obviously fantastic. I wasn't really sure what to expect. I had a little bit of whispers here and there about how the league is set up and the level and stuff like that. But to be honest, it was really good. Definitely a challenging level for me. And I was fortunate enough to be an important part of a team that won the whole title. So that was obviously nice. And then, this past year, 2024, after that season at Phoenix Rising, I ended up making a transfer to Tampa Bay Rowdies. And, same situation. I was obviously blessed to be an important part of that team. And the season didn't go as well as we had hoped, but I was still super thankful to have been there, be in a nice city and obviously a good organization as well. After my season last year at Tampa Bay Rowdies, it was weird. I actually had a very good likelihood of going overseas to Europe, and that was supposed to happen basically this summer. But because of the fact that I knew I was going to go in the summer, I couldn't really find a USL Championship club to take me for only like half of a season, which I completely understood. So thankfully, my agent has connections here with Ford Madison, and they were flexible with the whole situation, knowing that my plan was to leave in the summer. And that's how I ended up here in, I think it was beginning of March of this year. So yeah, I've been here since March, but obviously, unfortunately, I ended up picking up an ACL injury a month after I arrived. So obviously that kind of put the whole situation of me going to Turkey on hold. But yeah, my focus now is just obviously trying to get back to my best self and obviously come back stronger. But yeah, so far being here in Madison has been great. Aside from the injury, I mean, I've really loved being here. I've loved the city, and I've obviously loved the fans and, you know, how much people actually rally around the club here. So yeah, that's my journey so far.
Yeah, I feel like you offer an interesting perspective for like a lot of our listeners. Mm-hmm. The USL Championship is a bit new.
Yes.
To many people.
Yes.
Having had that experience in MLS, having gone to championship, having at least watched, I'm sure, plenty of League One here over the last few months, could you talk through just what the experience has been like at different levels, how you would explain championship maybe to someone who is new to the league?
Yeah. So USL Championship, I think it definitely, rightly so, has the title of, I guess, quote-unquote second division of U.S. soccer. But in my honest, like, humble opinion, I don't think the difference is much compared to MLS. I've seen players in the USL Championship that are 100% capable of playing in the MLS, and vice versa. I've seen players in the MLS that maybe shouldn't be there. It really isn't much of a difference. Of course, when it comes to like budget and teams like that, there's a distinct difference in level. But the level of the games, I mean, there's a reason why USL Championship teams, rightly so, get to play against MLS opponents in Open Cup and stuff like that.
And sometimes you see some upsets too.
Of course, 100%. 100%.
To show that, you know, there's not too much, you know, parity. There's not too much of a difference.
Exactly.
In the level.
Exactly. And there's obviously a lot of players. I mean, I was an example of someone who came from MLS to come to USL Championship, but there's been so many examples of that. So the level itself is definitely not like so much worse than MLS. So yeah, I enjoyed being there. I definitely felt like I was challenged. Obviously, being in the MLS, I believe that was my level, or I am a capable, you know, I'm a capable player to play there. But USL Championship to me was not much far off at all. In comparison to League One, I think League One is there. You can definitely see, I mean, okay, if we're going to talk from USL League One to MLS, yes, there's a clear difference. But again, USL League One, from the time I first played some games in USL League One, which was my second year in FC Dallas when North Texas was in the USL League One, there's a clear difference between that time in 2021 to now. There's definitely an improvement in level as well. And again, you have players that come into the league that have experiences playing in a bunch of other more competitive places. So yeah, I think it just goes to show how obviously the sports is growing in this country.
You mentioned growth of the sport. It used to be, I feel like, the feeders, you know, the homegrown path used to be, okay, let me get on a semi-pro team, right?
Right.
And then let me play in the USL, and then let me go to the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you've been talking, it seems like, especially the championship, USL championship in the MLS, the level is comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's more funding in the MLS.
You know, right.
Bigger crowd sizes, bigger stadiums, but it seems like right now it's like wherever you can get an opportunity to play professionally, I get the sense that you take it.
Definitely, yeah. At the end of the day, the most important thing for any player, especially when you're young, you obviously have an urge to want to, you know, jump into the system as soon as you can and break through and kind of be playing immediately. But the reality is it doesn't work like that. You definitely need to have experience. And that's something which, again, I think has been an improvement from the time, for example, when I was in academy. I can use FC Dallas as an example, obviously, because that's where I came from. They now have North Texas that's in, you know, technically, quote unquote, a professional team. That was not there when I was in academy, so there wasn't really something that you could use as like a jump to get your feet wet in professional soccer as there is now. So that's another improvement. A lot of the academy kids who are, you know, kind of, I guess to use lack of a better word, shining in academy, they get a chance to play with North Texas and get some professional minutes and play against professional players, and that helps with their experience. At the end of the day, experience is always going to be the biggest thing. Obviously, I believe not just in sport, but in life as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's obviously something that it's like a good thing that it is happening. Yes, it might end up maybe being a hindrance to academy itself as far as like how academy teams perform. But at the end of the day, you know, people who want to make the jump to professional soccer, that's the most important thing, getting the experience and just getting your feet wet as soon as you can.
I just want to jump back real quick to that experience that you had both at the academy and you went playing college at SMU, which is, you know, one of the top programs for soccer in North America. You say earlier that you may not have been ready to take that jump to semi-pro professional right after the academies. What did you take most from your experience in college that helps you now as a pro?
Yeah, I think college, the main thing I always say that college helped me to be able to take the jump into the professional game, I would say, was the physical aspect. Physically, college and the professional game, to maybe a little bit of an extent depending on the level, but physically, like athletically, the game is similar. Obviously, the speed of play in college is not to the same standard as professional, which is rightly so, but that was a piece of the game that I knew I needed to improve on. When I was in academy, I was fortunate to be one of the ones that would often get called to train with the first team, but I would get, you know, tossed around often. And I knew that was like a piece of the game that is obviously important. Of course, like when you're in academy, when you're young growing up, they teach the fundamentals of the game, which are the most important. Obviously, when you're learning to be a player, you have to, you know, learn technique and your ability to just in general play the game before you can learn to get stronger and stuff like that. But yeah, I knew that was a piece. It was super frustrating for me to just, you know, get, I would be so excited to go and train with the first team, but like I'd get pushed around all the time and I'd be in 11v11 and I would just feel like I wouldn't really get my way, but I could always fare with the speed of the game. And that's how I knew I was capable. So college definitely helped with the athletic piece. And in a way, you know, whether I agree with it or not, the reality is you do actually improve strength-wise when you're in college, because they sometimes end up treating you like football players. So you're maxing out your bench, you're maxing out your squat. In the college game, the actual like competitive season is from like August to November-ish, if you make it all the way to the Final Four. And then the other half of the year from January to May is like just workouts. So that whole time is dedicated to just pushing you to your limits and getting you stronger. And it also helps with the mental aspect as well of just, you know, how much you can push yourself. So I'll say that's a piece definitely that helped me.
Physical aspect.
Yeah.
Physical aspect. I mean, I've watched some of these college games, especially when it gets to the College Cup.
Right.
And it is so physical. I mean, it is.
Yes.
People are just, the referees, I feel bad for them because flying tackles coming through. And
yep, they got to manage the game.
And shoving and you got to be, you know, you got to be ready. So
definitely.
That's a good point. You just bulk up a little bit and get after it.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
Touched on this maybe a little bit at the start of just your experience here in Madison.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that everybody who is in the soccer scene at this level, at the lower levels in the U.S., knows that this is one of the best fan bases outside of MLS. Like, there's a real passion here.
Definitely.
Which is what excites me about what Milwaukee can build in Wisconsin, too. Like, I think that there is a really great excitement. What has it been like, just the support that you get here? It does feel unique compared to what I watch in other areas.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. It is definitely an environment where the fans 100% rally around this team, the community around the city. I mean, just walking around, you'll see, you know, Ford Madison posters. You see random people wearing jerseys. I live like 15 minutes away from here, which is not necessarily like in the middle of downtown where the stadium is. But even where I am, I see, like, if you mention the word Ford Madison, like, they know. Fans are packed every game, even like on weekdays when, you know, people are supposed to be more busy with work and stuff like that. It's definitely one of the better environments I've personally been a part of. Easily 100% better than some USL Championship venues for sure, as far as like environment and fan base. But yeah, it's, I mean, I've loved, you know, being a part of it. The second game that I played for Ford Madison, which was my first one that I played at home, I was thankful enough. It was like in a Open Cup game. I was thankful enough to score in that game, but it felt as if I was, I guess the way the fans, like, you know, celebrated the goal, it was like a final or something. And it was just a random, you know, it was first round, like, we were playing against, like, a, I think, I don't know, NISA team or something like that. But I mean, that just shows how much they care. Like, it was a Wednesday and it was packed. And the flock, what do you call it? The flock,
Section there.
They were going crazy. So, and then after the game, obviously we won the game and we went to, you know, salute them. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. So yeah, the experience here as far as the fans has been fantastic for
sometimes
sure.
Sometimes I get the sense that with the USL, you know, whether it's a championship or League One, there might be more of like a neighborhood community aspect to the fan bases.
Right.
And at this level, more so than the MLS, where it's more corporate, you know, more you know, obviously professional.
Definitely.
So, but it's fun. It's kind of a different environment, different vibe to it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm excited to see the perks that come with the championship for Milwaukee, like you mentioned, that idea of that community club, where I do think there is, it's something really unique about soccer that I'm not sure that is really replicated in any other North American sport.
Right.
Like the fact that these aren't minor league teams. These
Definitely.
Are clubs that people can feel like a sort of ownership of.
Yes.
You know, these guys are going to be around.
Definitely.
And I mean, I get the sense that there's an opportunity to build a relationship between player and fan that might be different than, oh, I'm just stopping here for a few minutes and then I'm going up to the next level sort of thing.
Right, right. No, I definitely, even here I feel that as well. Another thing that we do good here as far as, like, the club and the organization, they'll put, like, events here and there, like, maybe, I don't know, once a month or twice a month for us to interact with the fans, which kind of brings to that same concept of how it makes people want to continue to come. You feel like you're a part of the team whenever you get to meet the fans, sign autographs, take pictures, stuff like that. Obviously, natural marketing stuff that any club at any level does. But, yeah, I mean, when we have those events, I mean, I would say it's probably more packed at those events than, like I said, other places that I've been to as far as experience with that. So it's definitely an important piece for sure.
Shifting topics a little bit here to just the USL in general. There was announcements earlier this year that they plan on expanding, growing the league, starting their own Division One in a couple of years here, and introducing promotion relegation.
Right.
What impact do you think that's going to have on just soccer in the U.S.?
I think promotion relegation is something that me personally, especially as someone who's grown up watching the game since I was young and obviously watching, you know, Europe's top five leagues and stuff like that, I mean, promotion relegation is literally the bread and butter of what makes teams and fans have the passion for the game, because you're playing for something every single game, week in, week out. I think the one thing that is currently maybe lacking as far as, like, U.S. catching up to the rest of the world from a soccer perspective is that aspect. Every season you play a game week in, week out, and you're still kind of, you know that, okay, it's a long season. You play the first 3-4 games in the year and you might not get the results you want, but it's like, okay, it's a long season, there's plenty of time. The reality is, even if you end at the bottom of the league, you're still going to be there next year. I think in a way, just, I'm not going to say that it makes the level be like bad, but there's a sense of maybe just having a little bit of relaxation at the fact that no matter what, even if we have a bad season, we're still going to be here next year and still be at the highest level. Whatever level that is, whether it's MLS, USL Championship, the teams that do the worst in those seasons, they know they'll stay there. So promotion relegation, I think that's the biggest, I've hoped for a while that it would come a little bit sooner, but I think 100% is going to take the game to the next level for sure in this country, because I think that's the main thing that's lacking compared to the rest of the world.
I think it also gives like a differentiating factor for USL though.
Yeah.
Like it's an exciting aspect for the fans to get invested.
Definitely, definitely. And it also might, like how you were mentioning, if MLS could get on board with it too, that'd be fantastic too, but obviously it doesn't seem like they will be. And I think USL making that jump and doing the promotion relegation might make MLS in the future kind of rethink their, you know, how they run their organization, and maybe end up, you know, later on in the, after some time, they also jump on board with it too. So,
and the Division One status, if that comes, if that gets underway there for the USL, if they get a Division One, and I'm not sure if it's going to be competing against the MLS, but if it's going to be another option. You talked earlier about how there's the level between the USL Championship and the MLS is somewhat similar. You know, players in the USL Championship can be in the MLS and vice versa. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see just how that comes about. And they might not necessarily be competing leagues, but there's going to be two options for Division I soccer in the U.S.
One thing I wanted to touch on, which I think has gone to another level this year, is the Jägermeister Cup.
Right.
For those who are less familiar, a competition that puts USL Championship and USL League One teams directly against each other.
Uh-huh.
I was really excited when they did this. Last year, I don't know, just it was like an added, basically, competition for League One.
Yeah, for League One, exactly.
It didn't really do a lot for me. It was kind of like the NBA in-season tournament. And right. Just like another competition against the same teams.
Yeah.
Tying them together like this, I think it's been really cool this season.
Yes.
And helps prove, like, there isn't a huge difference sometimes between some of these teams.
For sure. For sure. I would definitely say, like, to touch on what I said earlier about USL League One and Championship having, like, a difference in level, I would definitely say, like, upper half of USL League One organizations are definitely not far away from USL Championship. And obviously I would include Fort Madison in that. But yeah, the Jägermeister Cup, like you said, last year was just a League One in-season tournament. There's League One teams now that are in, you know, the tournament is now obviously between Championship and League One. And there's League One teams now that are topping the group. They're competing to, for sure, like, advance. So again, that just shows when you put kind of like a competition aspect, it's like maybe the USL Championships, they play against the USL League One team and they come into it a little bit complacent. USL League One teams have nothing to lose, and you know, on that day, like, they end up winning. So I think it's again, all of that kind of intertwining, it's more of why I think the progress of the sport is going to improve in this country when you continue to kind of have the interdivisional games within the season.
Looking forward, Forward Madison, mm-hmm. against the potential, you know, Milwaukee Pro Soccer rivalry.
Right.
Building that.
Right.
The plan is for Milwaukee to play in the championship, but, mm-hmm. you know, at the Jägermeister Cup, they can play against each other.
Definitely.
They might have, like, just a yearly rivalry game. So
definitely.
That's what I'm most excited about, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool.
What has been, like, your most, like, fond experience? Whether it was playing with Phoenix Rising, winning championship.
Uh-huh.
What do you look back on so far in your professional career and say, man, that was awesome?
I mean, no, man, that's hard. I definitely put, like, yeah, winning the championship with Phoenix up there. At the current moment, it's the only professional silverware that I currently have. And it was special considering, like, how we did it. We were seeded as, like, 6 out of 8 going into playoffs, and we won every single game all the way up into the final away from home. A lot of them were, like, kind of last minute winners, extra time
That's
situations,
exciting.
Stuff like that. So 100% I would put that up there. But aside from silverware, I would honestly say my first year as a pro at FC Dallas. Of course, I had adversity of, you know, not getting to see the field as much, but it was understandable because it was my first year, and that's going to come. I was still young. But amidst, like, again, everything that was going on as far as 2020 being the year of COVID, and the league itself ended up getting suspended for some time, and we had some time that we just kind of had to work out on our own. They would give us, like, our GPS, like, vests to, like, go work out on our own, and we'd have to download the data and make sure we send it into our strength coach. At the time, it was like, this is kind of annoying, and I felt like I was missing development because I'm not actually training with the team. But when I really look back on it, it was enjoyable. And then on top of that, after the time that the season came back from being suspended, they did, like, this MLS's back tournament that was in Disney World.
Yeah.
In Florida.
That was fun.
And we, unfortunately, I mean, we didn't get to participate because we had too many COVID cases and we ended up getting sent back home. But the whole experience of kind of just, like, seeing how much, like, you know, the MLS is still willing to get something going regardless of the turmoil that's going on. That was inspiring to see that, again, there is hope for the sport in this country for sure.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was one of the first sports mm-hmm. to come back after COVID.
Yes, I think it was.
That tournament was one of the first sports across the world to come back.
Yes, definitely. I think NBA ended up doing it like a month after or something like that. But yeah, it was fantastic. Obviously, for the teams who ended up getting to participate it all the way, I'm sure they ended up having a blast and made the most of it. But yeah, I would put that up there as well. Just the year of 2020, my first year as a pro.
Do you have a favorite stadium you've played in, whether it was like the rowdy crowds or uh-huh. just like a really cool game day experience?
Man, this is going to sound bad because I'm from Dallas, and obviously Austin and Dallas is a rivalry there. But Austin FC Stadium is... it was amazing. I played in it Austin's first year in the league, so it was 2021. And they have, like, they call it, like, the only thing I can compare it to is the yellow wall in Dortmund. Obviously not as many fans.
Yeah.
But they have that same thing, obviously a green situation. So those are their club's colors. And when Austin scores a goal, like, the whole stadium, like, just turns green. So that stadium for me, I would say is at the current moment, obviously I hope to play in many amazing stadiums in the rest of my career, but at the current moment, I'll say that's the one stadium I was like, wow, this feels different than anything else I've played in, for sure.
To jump back to Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
when they first proposed this USL Division One,
right.
I think that Phoenix was one of the first clubs that everyone was like, okay, well, they're obviously going to be in that.
Right.
Part of that's the market size, but also the legitimacy of how that organization is run.
Uh-huh.
And as we look to start up a new USL championship side in Milwaukee, what was the experience like there of just, are there any lessons that can be learned about how to run a really successful championship club?
Yeah, Phoenix, I loved being at Phoenix. Loved everything about the city, the people. And again, that's another team with a very, very passionate fan base for sure. I was very excited to go to Phoenix once I knew that I was going to be, I guess, quote unquote, taking the step down to USL Championship. I knew that was one of the better organizations. And yeah, they definitely, there's been whispers here and there that they would maybe make a jump into MLS. They have 100% the market. Like I said, they have the fan base for it. People will definitely come to the games if there's a first division team there. Yeah, they definitely do, you know, the presidents, owners, all of them who I still have a good relationship with, they all definitely run the club in a very good manner. And there's a reason why normally players who are in my situation or even coming from other USL championship teams, that's a club that you want to go play for if you are going to play in the USL. Obviously, I would maybe say the only downside is just how hot it gets in the summer.
Yeah.
Like it's, I'm sure right now it's in like the, I don't even know, 110s, 15s. It's like a drier heat.
Is it a turf field or grass?
No, it's grass.
Thank God.
Really, really grass. Really, really nice grass, actually. But yeah, if it was turf, that would be terrible. But yeah, they have, like I said, all the mechanisms, the facility itself, as far as, you know, training staff and you know, working out area for the gym, stuff like that. It's all at a very, very good level. So I only have good things to say about that club, for sure.
I guess if people want to follow your journey from here on out, what's the best way for people to follow you on socials or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, social media, my handles on both Instagram and Twitter, or not Twitter, X.
I still say Twitter.
Are just, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, I'm still used to Twitter. Yeah, just my name, Eddie Manjoma. I would probably say I'm, as far as my journey, I'll probably be more active on Instagram, especially like, you know, considering right now my ACL recovery, I'm posting every month that I hit a milestone and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say that's the best way to follow me.
Yeah, awesome. Nice. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And then plans of Europe are still in the works, or?
Definitely, yes. I refuse to believe that the opportunity was, I guess, presented to me for it to not happen at all. So obviously with this ACL situation, it's on hold.
Yeah.
My aim is for summer of next year, that window to head over there. So
that's exciting.
We'll see.